the 102.7 ESPN studios in Austin, Texas. This is the Jeff and Ed Show.
Welcome back to the show, Ed Earl Clements. And are you still going by Jeff Ward? What are you going by?
I'm going to go with that for a while.
Okay.
Not in your business.
Ed Earl Clements, Jeff Ward, Kyle Owen, punching all the right buttons. Kyle will be producing the award-winning Sports Saturday on KLBJ tomorrow, afternoon 5 to 7. We'll be down with the gang at Dirty Martin's Joint on Guadalupe. It's their 100th birthday party, 100 years. What's the other 100-year restaurant in town? Schultz's. Schultz's Beer Garden was the oldest, I think, in the state.
Yep.
Schultz's, older than that, but Dirty celebrating 100 years tomorrow. They'll have commemorative T-shirts you can buy and glasses. I got one for Kyle already. And we'll be down there from 5 to 7 talking golf and talking general sports. And we'll be watching soccer tomorrow, England and Norway. 4 o'clock from Miami, then 8 o'clock, Argentina. Messi places Switzerland at 8 o'clock. Something happened in the world of golf today, Jeff, that has not happened in 6 years.
Oh, great.
Have you heard the news?
No.
For the first time since 2022, former Longhorn Scottie Scheffler missed a cut on tour at the Scottish Open. He had made 78.
He's going to go broke.
I know.
It's all over.
78.
Career's over.
78 consecutive cuts he made, but he didn't.
What's the record? I thought Jack Nicklaus had the record.
No, Hale Irwin has a record at 86.
Oh, the great Hale Irwin.
Hale Irwin.
I haven't heard that name in a while.
Yeah, he was former defensive back for Colorado. Was a good golfer. 78 straight, and you're right. He's going home, going to the hotel back in North Barrett going,
he's not
going to
make
honey,
it.
I didn't make any money this week.
They cannot pay the bills.
We've lost money this week.
That poor child.
We have lost money.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a pretty amazing. Scotty, of course, is in next week's British Open at Muirfield in Scotland. So it's not at Muirfield, it's Birkdale. He's in that. At the Scottish Open.
Oh, God.
Three share the lead. Jordan Smith.
Oh, boy.
Tom Kim and Rory McIlroy, who won his second Masters this year. Matty Fitzpatrick is at minus eight, along with Min Woo Lee. Tom Kim is a young man who lives in Dallas from South Korea. He's a guy that's got to win something big, or he goes and puts on a uniform for South Korea. The parameters are something like he's got to win an Olympic gold medal or a national tournament or the Asian Pacific. I got to believe if he would win the Scottish Open, those leaders in the good crew would say, hey, Tom, you've won, made great recognition to our country. So watch that this weekend with Tom Kim.
The ESPN FPI came out. Now, you're going to say, well, that sounds ridiculous. The FPI. Now, think about this and then start to rank teams. A team's FPI predicts a team's expected point margin against an opponent on a neutral field.
On a neutral field. Not on a home field. Well, what's the purpose of that?
I don't really know. Now, I'm glad you said that because I don't really know the point except just to produce another ranking. So if you had to guess, who would be the top two or three, four FPIs?
Jeff, that's an easy question for me to answer. That would be the Seattle Seahawks. That would be the LA Rams.
Sir? This is a college football play.
Well, it's easy for me to say, Jeff, and I'll go. I can make that shift. My mind
make
is that
the
way. That would be, Jeff, that would be the Indiana Hoosiers. That would be the Ohio State Buckeyes. And that would be the Georgia Bulldogs.
No.
Well, this is a bogus.
I mean, don't shoot the messenger here, but Ohio State has an FPI of 28.7. That's the highest number among the 138 FBS teams.
Did I not say Ohio State?
In the mix. Number two.
Indiana.
They're right down the street.
They're right down the street. Well, that would be Concordia Lutheran.
That's correct.
The University of Tejas.
Yep.
Let's play because they play a bunch of stiffs early on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But isn't this the same as the rankings were a year ago?
Yeah.
Whoa, this is so risky, man. I tell you, they're really going. Where was Indiana ranked before the season started last year? Were they even in the top? They were in the
top
25.
They had to be top 25 because they made the playoffs.
Yeah, I believe they were in the top 25. I want to say.
I'll Google that right now. I'll Google it.
last year, the 1-2 or 2-1 was Iowa State, Texas.
Yeah.
One of them didn't even make the playoff, as we know. Ohio State was...
They were number 20. Indiana was.
Okay.
Thank you, Cal.
Where was Miami? I'm going to guess Miami was 10 or 12.
It had to be 10.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. So they go the FPI, which I mean, I don't even know what formula you're using to do this, except some guy sitting around doing crack, is the expected point differential on a home field. I'll tell you who I think might have the biggest point differential of those that matter next year, and that's the team I think is most likely to go undefeated.
That would be whom?
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, because they don't play really in a
well, they play. Don't they play on the road in Provo?
I believe they do.
That's a tough game. I mean, they have a fat quarterback. I think Notre Dame, like if you had to sit here and make a bet, I'm not saying they're the best team, although I think they're up there, not the best team in college football, but I think they're kind of a good bet to as the most likely Power Four undefeated team next year.
Hmm.
Is Notre Dame.
Okay. Oh.
Because it's an easy schedule outside of, I believe, two games, and one of them is in Provo, and that's about it.
They get SMU, and okay, they go, well.
Where do they get SMU?
Their first game of the year is at Lambeau against Wisconsin. Wisconsin's way down.
They suck.
Then they get the mighty Rice Owls at Notre Dame Stadium. Then they take on the ever popular and powerful Michigan State Wolverines.
Hey there.
Oh, geez. Then they get Purdue September 26th.
Play your man Belichick.
And then they play Belichick the next week, October 3rd. Yeah. Then they will be hosting powerful Stanford on October 10th.
So they are whatever and oh.
Yeah, and then
7-0, 6-0.
October 17th, they go to Provo to face BYU. I
mean, that's not...
That'll be a game.
That'll be a game.
With a chunky quarterback.
What's the date of this?
It's October 17,
Jeff. So it's not snowing.
No, it's not snowing. It's not going to be that cold.
But BYU has a fat quarterback who can run.
That'll be a religious war. Mormons versus the Catholics, yeah.
Oh, that's kind of...
On Halloween, they'll be in Foxborough to face Navy. And Navy's not a bad team, but Navy's no world beater.
Pardon me? You want to bet on that game?
Yeah, you give me the points and I may take
I'll give you 7 points.
You give me 14 and I'll take the midshipman right now.
Where's the game?
The game is in Foxborough, Massachusetts, a neutral site.
I'll give you 14 right now.
I'll take it.
I'll write it
Mark
down.
It down. I got Navy plus 14 I'll against the Catholics.
You got it.
November 7th, they will be hosting Miami, which that'd be a good Yikes. Game.
Where'd that come from?
Yeah, and the Miami's quarterback is a quarterback from Duke.
Yeah, Mensa.
Yeah. Then they get Boston College.
What is Miami doing scheduling that game?
I don't know. It's a fun game. Convicts versus Catholic.
Give me the date.
It's November 7th, Jeff.
It's going to be cold.
Going to be cold. Going to be cold.
All right. That's old school there.
It's
going to
be a fun game.
I like that.
Then November 14th, they host Boston College. They will defeat Boston College. Then November 21st.
Look out.
November 21st.
Yep.
The Saturday before Thanksgiving. They face SMU.
Yeah.
The Mustangs.
Where is this game?
It's in Notre Dame Stadium.
Okay.
We saw the last time SMU played in cold weather.
Not the best cold weather team.
Yeah. And then Notre Dame ends the season at Syracuse.
Okay. They don't play football anymore.
No, they don't.
Okay.
Barely play basketball.
I forgot about the Miami game in that mix. I still
think BYU and SMU.
That's it. And that's it. I still make the bet that I think they're the most likely of the big name programs to go undefeated.
Yeah.
I don't think an SEC team goes undefeated.
I don't think so either.
I don't think a Big Ten team goes undefeated.
It's going to be difficult because Indiana is not going to be as good. They've got Josh Hoover, the quarterback from TCU, who's really good.
He is.
Michigan is still a work in progress with Kyle Whittingham. Michigan, of course, has Oklahoma, and I've got Michigan against Oklahoma.
You keep talking about that.
Well, because you picked Oklahoma. I've got Michigan in that game at the Big House.
Yeah.
And Ohio State may lose the second week of the year against Texas. And then Pennsylvania State's going to be usual Penn State.
What the hell was I'm usually very practical.
And Indiana will,
what the hell was I thinking?
The Oregon factor in the Big Ten, that plays a big role to me. Oregon's can be a spoiler to those teams.
Yeah.
And I still think, and you know, I like it when USC's good. But I don't trust Lincoln Riley as far as I could throw Kyle. You know what I mean? I don't.
You're throwing Kyle?
Yeah.
Earlier you shot him.
Oh, he shot me.
Oh, he shot you.
Under your rewriting the script.
Yeah, I mean, I just think I don't like your script.
Well, you go tell that to the screenwriter.
Well, it's a little soft. I think you guys got to go
a
little
edgy. This is an award-winning screenwriter with one of the greatest directors in Hollywood, and you're poo-pooing the project.
What's the premise of this movie? We know your role. What's the premise? Like, what's over...
I cannot reveal this, Jeff. I can't reveal it.
Is it Civil War time?
No. It's post-Civil War.
Okay. Yeah.
Did you see the Kevin Costner Western, which was so good with my friend Luke Wilson?
Dances with Wolves?
No. Oh, good Lord. That was about 20 years ago.
You think you're going to be in that? Are there Native Americans involved in this film?
I have not read deeper in their script.
If so, Ed Earl kills them.
Ed Earl loves the Indians, as we've talked about earlier this week.
You shoot them.
You made fun of me when I said Oklahoma State should be proud of putting the Osage tribe on their uniform.
Yeah. Selling cigarettes and gambling.
Yeah,
that's what an American thing to do.
But no, the Kevin Costner, I forgot the name of it. Luke Wilson was in it. It's terrific. They're about to release the second part of that.
So you're going to be more like Kevin Costner in this?
Luke Wilson.
Okay.
He was the wagon train guy. Like, I'd be working for Luke Wilson in this deal. Yeah.
I see.
Luke just became a father. Did you see that? Girlfriend who lives in Austin. There's a little 30-year age difference, but bouncing baby girl. Good for Luke and good for this young woman. Yeah. She's in medical school. Isn't that something?
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why do you know that?
Because I've had the opportunity to be around and play golf with Luke Wilson a few times, and he's a delightful guy. Wonderful guy. Down-to-earth guy. He would fit in your group. He would go drink wine with you.
Okay.
Yeah, he would.
Let's see. I don't think... Texas Hardball tweets, Erling Haaland takes in 6,000 calories a day.
6,000?
I also read that, like, he likes to eat, like, animal organs for, like, the...
Just like, for the fun of it?
No, like, the just, like, the properties of, like, the... I don't know how to explain it. The oils and, like, the...
Yeah.
The stuff that... I can't even... I can't do it off the top of my head.
Well, some people like liver, Kyle. Liver and onions.
Well, yeah, stuff like that, but...
Yeah.
It's... Whatever.
Is he like Bobby Kennedy's brain or roadkill?
Roadkill. I thought Bobby Kennedy throws it in his car and leaves it at his house for years and stuff. Yeah, I know Erling Haaland is like a way out there dietary issues and his fitness program. There's videos of him running up these hills that are pretty crazy.
Yodeling in Norway?
I don't think he yodels.
Yodeling.
I don't think he yodels. Man, I can't. You know, the thing is, the English team, like, this sucks for them because they play against the guy.
Well, they know him well.
And they're like, going, damn it, now that guy's going to come and...
And the guy could have played for him because he was born in...
Yeah, I didn't know that much.
Born in England.
I did not know that before the World Cup.
Mm-hmm. I read that today in Daily Mail.
I can't believe the English didn't just throw Windsor Castle at him and say, Erling.
Come play for us.
Please, man, bring the title home. We'll do anything. Have it. Whatever the Queen has taken from the foolish taxpayers, we'll give it to you, Erling. But I got to say, the guy's all
terrific,
Norwegian on you.
I'm for the Three Lions, though. I got to say, I'm for the Lions.
You know, I've been a big fan of. He plays midfield for Norway, and his name is Odegaard.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of this guy. Okay. He is a slick player. He plays like a street kid, and he's Norwegian, and he's the captain of the Arsenal. Arsenal. And what a slick player he is. So good on the ball. Finds guys wide open. It's just a street player. And it's like weird to see some Norwegian dude play like he's some kid in...
Well, his father was was a Premier League player, so he's got the good lineage.
About Odegaard.
Oh, I'm sorry, Odegaard.
His name is Odegaard. I think he's number 6 or 8, plays in the midfield.
Okay, excuse me.
If you see the ball, if you see the smallest guy on the field for Norway, moving around like crazy, juking guys, slick passes. He really is like, if you just, if you covered up his face, you would go, that's got to be some street kid in South America. He plays like that.
He's built like Messi. He's 5'10".
Yeah, he's a little guy. He's the only little guy they got. Everyone else is a giant. But guy, he's a slick player. I love the way he plays. And he's their team captain at 24.
Mm. And Arsenal's team captain.
Yeah, I know. I mean, everyone loves the guy. And, man, what a player. You just don't... He's like in basketball terms, he would be... Let me think of a point guard comparison. He'd be a John Stockton.
Hmm.
Like a guy or a Steve Nash or Nate Archibald. That's what he is on a soccer field.
Creates things.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But which is sort of classic domain of a poor kid in Spain or Brazil where they learned all of these tricks and stuff. He's that guy.
Check out this headline I just saw. Speaking of basketball players.
Oh, no.
Victor Wembanyama refuse $251 million Spurs contract offer as he breaks his silence on the NBA future.
What?
Yes. The Frenchman took to social media today to speak out on swirling rumors across the NBA that Wembanyama will turn down the $251 million deal he's eligible for and sign one worth less money to show his team greater freedom to spend for a rebuild. Well, that's okay. That's a
Okay, hang on a second.
Okay, what a deceptive headline. Spurs family, what? I'm here to say whatever it takes. So he's staying.
Yeah,
that headline.
That was very deceptive of you.
It was the Daily Mail deception.
Why do you read the Daily Mail? Why is the right wing crowd obsessed with the Daily Mail?
Because
it's sensational and stupid. Sorry,
that was because it has fun stuff.
It's sensational. Stuff. Okay.
Yeah. So
people
he says he's
seen
staying.
The headline.
He's saying he's
and
leaving.
The headline makes it sound like
he's
Victor
leaving.
Wembanyama is out.
But he's going to be in. He's staying.
Yeah.
That's Daily Mail.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure if he said that today, yeah. That's good.
What are you going to have to give him?
Alamo? Dick's Last Resort?
Yeah. SeaWorld?
SeaWorld. He can have Shamu in his pool.
His pool.
He gives you Shamu.
He gets
about the same length.
He gets the Rattler.
Did you hear the news today? I saw this in
it's the Rattler.
The States.
So they're gonna have to pay him $251?
Yeah. But he says he'll take less than that. To stay. I'm here to stay, he says.
Has Victor's agent talked to him yet?
I don't know.
Because the agent may say, Vic.
Listen, man.
You're a nice guy and all, kid, but you just shut up right now. We're going for SeaWorld, the Alamo, and the Outlet Mall. Okay, we're going all in on the outlet.
You want the racetrack in
yes,
Selma?
That's right.
You want all of Selma.
You want, there's a Hooters over there too, Vic. You want all of...
Sadly, they closed that, I believe.
Oh, boy.
I think it's gone. I saw on the station today, TxDOT is encouraging Texas to have a commuter rail between Austin and San Antonio.
That's smart.
8 round trips a day. I think that would be so cool.
It's smart.
So good?
Years ago, that was pitched.
I know.
And I don't know who killed the idea.
Well, Southern Pacific Rail Line has to go.
I know. Ask anyone who sits there on I-35 for 5 hours for a 70-mile trip.
Yeah, wouldn't that be cool to get on the train just to go for a business appointment?
What track, though?
Well, that's the Southern.
Because you got a track
now. There's an Amtrak that...
I know.
Yes.
One of my kids... would take the Amtrak to San Antonio and really liked it because he said, I'm not going to get stuck in traffic all the time.
Yeah, here it
so
is.
So he would take it.
But will Union Pacific play ball? It says, TxDOT again pushes SA to Austin Rail, but will Union Pacific play ball?
But remember the pitch years ago, was it called the Eagle? And there was this multi-billion dollar plan, I thought, to connect San Antonio, Austin, Dallas, etc.
Houston, yeah.
Well,
this story says today the owner of the tracks, Union Pacific, doesn't appear to be interested. Union Pacific owns the track.
Yeah,
yeah. The Omaha-based freight giant opted not to participate in TxDOT's study.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, look. Let me say this: anyone that's been to Europe versus getting stuck in traffic going to San Antonio, you know the difference. If you've been to New York and taking it out to, I mean, I took the train to Princeton.
Mm-hmm.
It's a piece of cake.
The Italian.
You can work on the train.
Yeah.
Instead of sitting
exactly.
in traffic.
Kyle, the Italian trains, we took the train from Rome to Florence and then Florence to Venice. It is so cool and so quick, and it's not uber expensive. And they got good wine on those trains, and they're fast, and they're fun.
So what would it take in a train to get to San Antonio?
How long?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Probably like an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Yeah, even if it's 2 hours. 99% of us would say,
well, don't stop. Just don't stop in San Marcos.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Average about 40 miles per hour for
okay,
that fine. 120.
99% of us would rather do that than make that drive.
Well, when I'm at Butler playing golf on Wednesday or Tuesday morning, I see that Amtrak about 8:30. Going by there, and it's on its way.
Yeah, but it's been to 11 stops.
It does. You can fix the stop over there, right there at the train deal.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's still, I think it's would be a great idea.
Well, how did that tie into Victor Wembanyama?
I just brought that up about San Antonio and Victor saying he's staying. Don't worry, Spurs fans.
I'm not convinced of that.
Well,
I think he may have gotten a little ahead of himself here, but what a deceptive headline.
Yeah, this is really...
I pretty much tell you he's leaving.
This is sorry-ass journalism.
Well, this is what you quote down the hall every single day.
It got you to click.
It got me to click. It did.
Is Daily Mail kind of MAGA related?
Well, look at this. WNBA star who punched Caitlin Clark in the throat caught in fresh violent controversy with a different Indiana Fever player. I talked to somebody today who's a friend of mine who's kind of a... I was talking about... I'll be honest. He's a West Texas guy. And I said, what is August Pfluger doing?
Augie Pfluger,
who serves West Texas in Congress, sent a letter to the NBA commissioner saying, you better get this straight.
Threatening a hate crime against Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, hate crime because of the rough fouls and the hip checks.
Yeah.
And this comment was, which I really didn't bring up yesterday... This person says it's about time the WNBA starts treating Caitlin Clark like an NFL quarterback, protecting her a little bit.
This person told you that?
Superstar. Oh. Because without a Caitlin Clark, she's brought WNBA to the forefront. You got to protect her a little bit.
Who says they're not?
Well,
there's a big difference between calling a flagrant foul
I know.
Having the Department of Justice go throw this woman in jail.
I just think they're rough. It's rough. It can be rough in the WNBA. It can be rough in pro football too. But that was his comment.
That's kind of a dumb comment.
No, it's not a dumb comment because they protect quarterbacks.
Well,
Back in the day,
I know that, but he's assuming they're not protecting her. They called a foul. What do you want them to do? Jail this woman? They're calling fouls.
Maybe so. I don't know what they're thinking. Yeah.
The play in question, I say this as if I'm a WNBA expert. I'd rather gouge my eyes out than watch. But the play in question, she's knocked to the floor, right?
Yeah, and somebody puts a thumb on her throat.
Okay, it looks pretty bad.
Yeah.
They call the foul.
Yeah.
What more do you want them to do?
Ban that.
Exactly.
Yeah, ban that woman from the league.
Is that because the person that fouled her is black?
You said it.
Yeah, because I think that's what the guy's implying with the law, threatening the DOJ with it. Do they make other claims for other players that are fouled in the W? I don't disagree. She's a star. She is. But that's making the assumption they don't call fouls. I'm pretty sure they do. It's like, for instance, here's where this stuff... Because who is it? Emmanuel Acho? Do you see what he got into?
What did Emmanuel do?
He came out and he was critical in some capacity of Caitlin Clark. Sort of the same thing. Hey, look, they're calling fouls. The attacks on him racially were over the top.
Mm.
And he talked about it. He said, this is nuts. This is not about basketball. It's not. I'm sorry. It's not. I mean, he just came out as a critic of the sport. He watches more of it than any of us. And, of course, he talked about how the mail that he got and this player who fouled her. The Caitlin Clark came out and defended the woman against the racial attacks who fouled her. Because the threats were not, you suck, you fouled her. They were all about race. And then he said, this is crazy. And guess what he got?
$8 million.
It's all about race. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, come on, everyone. Yeah. I mean.
But Congress has no place. That's hell dumb. No. If I was a constituent of August Fleer, I'd say, August, come on, man. What happened to the old Republican Party? Low taxes and less government.
Oh, gosh.
Gone, far away.
Far removed from that.
But this headline, Victor Wembanyama hints he'll refuse $251 million Spurs contract offer as he breaks silence on NBA future. And I clicked, thinking he's going to hit the road. And he says, no, I'm staying.
Yeah.
He's going to take less. So that's
well,
it.
Well, he says he would right now.
He says he would right now.
Okay, that's it, his phone. Beep, 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 beep. That was his agent.
Vic, agent and his mother.
Vic, I know. You love it or whatever. You love Dick's Last Resort. Stop talking, Vic.
I don't, we were talking about before we go to break. I don't
How often do you guys use Daily Mail down the hall a lot?
Is the Pope a Catholic?
Okay, stupid question.
Did you hear the news about Kristi Noem? She's divorcing her husband.
No way.
Yeah, dresses up like a woman. Yeah.
Oh, man. She was such a great wife.
That led Kristi to spending all that money of our money for promoting herself on the horses.
What a fine American she is.
Oh, she was a great, great member of the administration.
Yeah. And the dude she was sleeping with at some congressional hearing is sitting behind her during the congressional hearing.
Well, that was conjecture. We don't know if they were making sweet, sweet love, but we suspected it.
Yeah. Your publication seemed to have a lot of pictures and email about it. That's too
bad. Did you see what he's called?
What a intellectual giant she is.
All right,
we're going to miss her.
We're going to take a break.
I mean, she was, when you think of Winston Churchill-like Americans,
yes,
you think of Kristi Noem.
Kristi Noem. A lot better looking than Winston.
Remember when she lost her, Fendi purse or whatever?
Oh, somebody ripped it. She was taking the family to dinner, and somebody walked up and stole it.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to be back with more on 1027 ESPN.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements. Afternoons 4 to 6 on 1027 ESPN.
You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
Sometimes kids play with pretend guns. It's up to us to make sure they don't play with real ones. Keep yours stored locked and unloaded. Learn more at nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Jeff and Ed Show on 1027 ESPN.
Hey, back on the show today, I'm Ed Clements along with Jeff Ford. Ed Earl Clements, I should say.
Yeah, get it right.
New name. Kyle Owen pushing all the right buttons. Kyle's going to be producing tomorrow's show at Dirty Martin's Place. It's a 100-year birthday party for Dirty Martin's down on Guadalupe. Jeff, you're invited. Bring the kids. Bring the family.
Really?
Celebration all day long.
Free food?
Oh, yeah, there'll be food down there. They're having like a fair outside. It's going to be tough parking.
Fair?
The fair, they're going to have a
carny or something?
A big party on the parking lot. We'll be broadcasting live 5 to 7. They've got birthday T-shirts they'll be selling and glasses, and we'll be broadcasting from 5 to 7, the 15th Club Golf Show, and then the End Zone Club. So come on down tomorrow to Dirty Martin's Place.
What's your Ed Earl actor headshot like? Yeah, like a windblown look or black and white?
I've got a very professional look. Okay. I've got a very professional. I'm in a suit.
Okay.
Yeah. You got to present that to the producers and directors and the casting people.
Yeah, I knew that.
But see, that's beautiful. You can go in character. You can go in character, which I plan to do. Now, I watched tennis this morning. Jannik Sinner defeated Novak Djokovic. The Joker may be out. He's gotten so old. Jannik Sinner will now meet a guy named Alexander Zverev in the finals at the Wimbledon this weekend.
What was Jokic? Seven seed?
I don't know what he was, but he
was like a seven or eight seed.
Novak got beat in straight sets today. The dude is from, it always confuses me, because you look at the guy and he's from Italy, and he is from...
He's red hair.
He's got red hair. He's from up near the Swiss Italian border.
Why is this throwing you off?
Because usually you see...
You have a view of Italians. You have a view of all Europeans and American Indians, for that matter.
When I think of the typical Italian, I think of, somebody like Fredo from The Godfather.
Exactly.
Fredo. Michael Corleone. And this guy is a red, blondish hair.
Yeah, he needs sunscreen.
Yeah, and he's from northern Italy, which is a... I would love to go to northern Italy up there by Lake Cuomo.
Yep.
I told you yesterday, I read a marvelous book about that was a pipeline when people were escaping Italy and the Nazis. They would go up there and get into Switzerland. You know, Switzerland was neutral.
I've heard that.
Yeah, they were neutral in WW2. By speaking of Switzerland, they play Argentina tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. And the early game tomorrow will be England at England and Norway. England, Norway from Miami, Argentina, and Switzerland from Kansas City. Could you imagine those Argentines and the Swiss going, where are we in Kansas City? What is this Indian chief on the stadium? What is an Arrowhead Stadium? Earlier today, Spain, defeated Belgium at SoFi Stadium 2-1 in one of the games. I won a bottle of wines because Jeff disputed me the location of the game. He was wrong. I was right. So, going to be a fun day of soccer tomorrow. England and Norway. I like the Lions, three Lions, but Norway is a fun team to watch. And then in the second game, I don't know who I'm for. I like Messi, and Argentina has the great small guys, and they've got Messi, who's the footwork is phenomenal against the Swiss. And you really like the Swiss team tomorrow?
Well, no, I didn't say that at all. You just made that up. I'm just saying that Switzerland, from the very beginning, has been better than people think, but they don't have the term people use in soccer as quality, which means skill. They won't be able to match Argentina. Here's the thing about Argentina that's tough for people to deal with. The way they play, how hard they defend, and how they break. All right. It would
what
be
do
like,
you mean by break?
All right.
What's
so
that mean?
In basketball terms, you lay back, and then you break on a fast break. You know, they suck you into a game, and they look like they're defending and defending and defending. Next thing you know, they come out of it really fast. They get numbers forward because that's what Messi does. He looks like the laziest person in the world, but he's just waiting for them to get the ball back.
Is that when I've heard him say, andale, and they go? Right.
Yeah. Well, that. So it's a rough system to play because they buy into it and work so hard defensively, and you keep coming, and sooner or later you're going to make a mistake and you leave him by himself.
So
that's why they play. The Argentines are legendary for their discipline.
Okay. Every game we see now in the world, this could be Messi's last World Cup game.
Ed, is he playing till he's 42? 43? I ask you.
Jeff, I'm a novice in the world of soccer. I would suspect no because of all the running.
Yeah. Most of us thought the last one was his last.
Yeah, I know. We thought the last one was his last one. So
wow.
He doesn't run that much. I mean, in a world where guys are covered 8-9 miles a game, he's covering two and a half. But those 2.5 are deadly.
I just love it when he gets the ball and that footwork
is just... You can't get him off the ball, right? It's like it's attached to the string.
Yeah.
It's... everyone knows the direction he's going, always to his left. And these are the best players in the world, and everyone knows it. And you still can't get the ball off his foot. The way he walks around and finds windows, it would be like... It's like receivers that can find those open spaces. You know, just somebody like, you know, just has this knack for finding an open space. He's that. And when they find him and they connect with him. And then once he gets it, he also doesn't just score, he assists too. And so it makes it really dangerous because the defense will collapse on him. And next thing you know, it's the ball's behind you and they got a guy wide open.
Yeah.
It would be awful to play against because of how they play. And they've been doing it for a long time.
So your predictions on tomorrow, I haven't looked at betting.
I think they are the only non-European team left in the Final Four.
Okay,
I think they beat Switzerland. I don't think Switzerland, for all the good goalkeeping they have, I don't think they can hang.
So it's Spain and France in one bracket, and England and Norway tomorrow versus Argentina. Who you have a prediction for England and Norway?
I think England wins.
Do you?
I do.
Harry and the guys?
Yeah, Jude Bellingham is the reason. And Jordan Pickford, their goalkeeper.
Yeah. Oh,
remember what I tell you, goalkeeping is like defense.
Mm-hmm.
It wins. In the end, that's what makes the difference. And the English have been on Jude Bellingham's ass for years.
Yeah.
And he's won fans now because he's working hard. What I tell you today, box to box, he covers a lot of ground.
I got a message from, did you ever date a girl in San Angelo in the early 80s?
You?
You.
What?
A friend just wanted to ask Jeffy, was ever in San Angelo in the 80s?
I've never been to San Angelo that I know of in my life.
Really? So,
and I've never dated someone from there that I know of.
Okay.
Just a lot that I don't know. Okay. I mean, I'm going to be honest. There's a lot that I don't know.
Okay.
A lot of stuff I'm not aware of. So why would that come up?
Friend just wanted to message me.
Why?
I don't know.
Where prompted that?
I'm sitting next to you.
Is there a child?
I don't know.
This is more serious than I realized.
I told you that story about the friend of
did. I cringed the whole time.
1984.
Yeah, don't say it again. Don't say it again.
1984.
Yeah,
It
scared me.
He found out that not only he had a daughter, but he found out he had grandkids.
Yeah.
And he hasn't known since 1984. And the woman that he had...
Now, to tell the full story, he's on vacation.
He's on vacation.
With another woman.
He's in vacation in Mexico with his longtime girlfriend. His brother calls and said, are you sitting down? And his, whatever the name of the girlfriend is she in the room with you? Well, I need to speak to you privately. And he goes, oh, no, what happened? And his brother says, his son just did a 23andMe deal. And my son found out he's got a cousin that lives in Boulder. Were you in Boulder in 1984? And he said, well, yeah, I was. I was on a ski trip and stopped there. And we had one night there, and I went to a wild party and lost my phone. Yeah. No phones in. I lost my friends, and I spent the night with a woman. And I got to my friends, and that was it. Well, he had a baby by this woman, and he never knew about it.
Yeah.
And the woman didn't know his name, and he didn't know the woman's
name.
And the woman didn't know his name either. And the woman thought it was by her longtime boyfriend she'd just broken up with. They had a paternity test a few years later when this baby was sick. Found out the baby wasn't this guy's, and she didn't really remember who the baby's father was. 23andMe showed that his friend, who lives in Chicago now, was the father, and they had a reunion with the daughter. He had a reunion with the daughter and her two kids. The mother of this child had died about 3 years ago. So that's why I'm just asking. Yeah. Isn't that a wild story?
All right, Kyle. Ed'll get a kick out of this. Play it. Somebody tweeted this. This would be, just play it. Maybe people can pick up on this.
When organizers planned this game 7 years ago, little did they know then it would pit two teams currently rated in the nation's top five, fourth-ranked Penn State and second-rated Texas.
But this day belonged to the Longhorns. Following a first-quarter punt from Penn State, Texas took only two plays to notch their first touchdown of the day. On second and two from their own 49, fullback Terry Orr goes off right tackle for 51 yards in the score. Texas led 7-0. Orr finished with 72 yards on 9 carries.
I think that the big plays, a lot of them came in the kicking game, and I think the best thing about it, when big plays came along, we took advantage of it.
Then with 1:29 left in the first quarter, Penn State scores their only points of the day on this 35-yard field goal by Nick Gacitano, and after one quarter, Texas led 7-3. But that was as close as the Nittany Lions would get. Following another Penn State punt, Texas scores again, this time through the air. Quarterback Todd Dodge finds tight end William Harris, who picks up a good block from number 80 Bill Boyd Bryant. That was enough to spring Harris for an 84-yard touchdown. Texas led 14-3. Another big play put the Horns up by 11 at the half. In the third, things continued to go poorly for Penn State. Kevin Woods couldn't find a handle on his John Telchik punt. That gave Texas another golden opportunity deep in Penn State territory. Four plays later, Jerome Johnson scores the first of his two touchdowns with this two-yard scamper. Texas led then 21-3. Penn State tried to rally. However, three fumbles hurt the Lions this afternoon. After the UT touchdown, DJ Dozier was stripped of the football by UT's Jerry Gray. Texas recovered at their own 35. Again, the Texas defense put the stops on the Penn State offense.
It was no surprise to me that they were going to come after us, and we had made up our mind we're going to bump and run them all day, because most of the time a team in the East, they're not used to bumping and running. They're used to zone, and they'll pick a zone apart, so we did something that we like to do best.
Texas capped the scoring on the first play of the fourth quarter. Jerome Johnson breaks through a gaping hole on the right side from 3 yards out, and the second-ranked Longhorns escape the Big Apple with a lopsided win over number four Penn State.
Well, we didn't hit passes when we had a chance, and that's to beat Texas, you got to throw the ball. You got to make some big plays, and we didn't make them.
It was an improvement for us, and it was a tough ball game. And when you win those tough ones against good opponents, you've got to be proud. And I am.
What was expected to be an excellent football game here today at Giant Stadium turned into a rout for the University of Texas. The Longhorns win this one going away 28-3 over Penn State. With the win coupled with a Nebraska loss, should move Texas into the number one spot in the rankings next week. From Rutherford, New Jersey, Greg Kerr, Channel 7 Sports.
Man.
I don't know who tweeted that, but they
posted cool.
That.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's Met. What's MetLife Stadium now, right?
Where they're playing the finals of the soccer.
Yeah,
we got to take a break. That's cool. Kind of sad to see Fred. God love him.
I know.
Yeah.
I tell you, there's a guy that had a tight end at 260. This would have been one of the best players you'd seen in the NFL. A guy named William Harris from Smiley High School. And he was 6'5", about 255, 260. He scored an 80-yard touchdown as a tight end. Could outrun everyone on the field. And was on his way to absolute rock star status. Back when academics mattered, flunked out.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew him well, too.
Yeah.
This would have been one of the best, one of the most freakish players you would ever see.
That was a great team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the famous speech.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tell everybody what Fred did.
Famous speech.
What did Fred do that day before the game?
So I don't know what they were ranked. 3, 2. No, we were 2, I guess. And so they were 3, 4, 5, whatever. And he comes walking in there. Fred does. And he said, they gather everybody up and talk about the coin toss, whatever. The speeches are rarely as screaming like people think. And he goes, man, they sold the Meadowlands out today. For the first time they've ever done this for a college game. And he goes, you guys know why? Texas is here.
Ooh.
And he just walked out.
Oh, my gosh.
Not another word was said.
Because Texas is here.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Oh, all right.
But it was,
They were good.
So one of the quotes in there is the best football player I've ever seen in my life. Bo Jackson is the greatest athlete I've ever seen on a field. Jerry Gray is the best football player I've ever seen in my life.
Love a Estacado.
Yeah. The best football player, like cover ground, tackle, intercept, whatever. And so he was right because we played like an NFL team. And that is just because everybody in our secondary was a first-round pick. Mm. All the guys in the secondary were picked in the first round. Mm. And so they just walk up and just do man-to-man. So there'd be 11 guys across the line. They'd just walk up and say, I got that guy, and that's it. And so you couldn't throw, so you would try to run, and you'd just get blown away.
Back to conclude the show after this on 102.7 ESPN.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements, afternoons 4 to 6 on 102.7 ESPN.
How do airplanes fly? What's in this box? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Learn how to store your gun securely and make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Jeff and Ed Show on 102.7 ESPN.
All right, World Cup today, Spain over Belgium, 2-1. Golf news, Scottie Scheffler misses the cut. He made no money this week for the first time in 78 straight tournaments.
He's not gonna make it.
He was only eight away.
Give the guy a loan.
He was only eight away from Hale Irwin's record of 86.
Like one of those title things.
He's getting pizza to go tonight in North Berry.
He's struggling.
Honey, we're in trouble. I have no check this week.
Yeah.
No check for Scottie Scheffler.
Last week's check was like $12 million, but whatever.
Whatever, honey. Also, Fair O'Keefe, UT golfer, made another cut in a major. Anderson High School product, Texas women's golf team. What a summer she's having. She made the cut right on the number in France today. Nelly Korda, ironically the number one women's player, didn't make the cut either. So she joined Scottie Scheffler on the sidelines this weekend.
Here go the tweets. Mike Neiman tweets, agree, our political heroes need to stop worrying about the WNBA and fix what truly needs their expertise, college football.
Yes, that's right.
That was well played. Well played. Texas Harbaugh tweets, Jeff, comma, they're talking about her hand on her throat pushing down more than a foul. No. I mean, you really want the government and the Department of Justice involved in, quote, more than fouls in sports? Do you want to prosecute? Do you want to jail somebody that has a roughing the passer call? Let's just say it's a cheap shot in a football game. Do you want them to go to jail?
No.
I mean, what member of Congress needs to fix that?
And a guy from San Angelo. Midland.
Well, yeah. I'm sorry. I mean, feel free to fight with me all you want. This is because the Caitlin Clark, what do we want to call this? Popularity.
Yeah.
Is partially to largely based on her being white from the Midwest.
But she has revived the WNBA.
No, I'm not arguing she's not a star. I get it. But it is turned into a racial thing.
Angel Reese, bad. Caitlin Clark, good.
Yeah. And so, I'm sorry. I think so little of people in office. This is the kind of garbage they glom onto. If there is an issue in the NFL, the WNBA, the NBA, the MLS, they need to figure it out. To think that you put someone in office in the middle of a war, we're dropping bombs, man. Okay? You need your member of Congress to fight about the WNBA? No. We have lost our way so badly, is my opinion.
He governs for San Angelo, Midland, and La Mesa, and he's all concerned about Caitlin Clark and the WNBA. And other Republicans have signed on, mostly Indiana legislators, who want it fixed. Let the league take care of it. Let college football take care of college football.
Yeah.
And this thing about the new Ted Cruz bill, SEC doesn't support it. UT doesn't support it. A&M doesn't support it. The whole of the SEC doesn't support it. The whole of the Big Ten doesn't support it.
I hope I offend everybody by saying this. These are just, these are pandering maggots who are not looking, and the fact that the public goes along with this garbage. I'm not saying Caitlin Clark getting fouled or not fouled is not an issue and worthy of debate or a talk show. The fact that that's what you elect someone for, we're dropping bombs. I mean,
you know the
bombs.
name of this deal now?
What?
I don't know if he's the new operation over there that they're calling this.
Operation? What operation?
Well, the nickname they've given this operation.
What operation? In Iran?
The new bombing in Iran.
Oh, we have a new name. Great.
Operation.
Name from the guy who said we weren't going to do this stuff and we're doing it regularly?
Operation Bitch Slap.
You're kidding me, right?
No.
He was?
No. That's what the White House is calling this.
No.
Yes. I read it today, New York Times.
Wait, what?
The White House is calling this next offensive Operation Bee Slap.
Yeah.
That's what they're calling it.
Are you serious?
That's what Pete and Great Leader.
I didn't see that today.
Yeah.
That checks.
That checks, yeah.
Oh,
God. Yeah. God. Okay, I'll see you at Dirty's tomorrow.
Oh,
go down to Dirty's. Wow. Their 100th birthday party. T-shirts for sale, glasses for sale. We'll be broadcasting live 5 to 7.
Tater tots?
Tater tots aplenty, my friend. OTs, DHs, tater tots.
Mm.
It all. Come on down. Bring the kids. All right. Trey Elling, the award-winning show. He's had a great week this week.
Yes.
Who's Trey's special guest tonight?
Well, it's funny. Who did you mention earlier who is sadly up for a divorce but has a lot to say?
I don't remember who I'm talking about.
Christy Noem.
Oh, my.
On with Trey Elling tonight.
Christy Noem with Trey Elling live on 1027 ESPN.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements. Afternoons 4 to 6 on 1027 ESPN.